Blog
Praise
Talk
the Lord,
Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are joining Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and this is our last session for 2016. And we just want to declare God's glory and grace. Enjoy this with me.
And all of the marvelous attractions that his hands have made, flowers and birds and oceans and mountains, truly, God is an awesome wonder.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord with me this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise of it. Yes. Hallelujah, nobody like you. Praise him with me this morning. Worship him.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We want to give our Savior, our God, our Lord, our Creator acknowledgement this morning. We want to recognize who has brought us, my God, through this year, through our life struggles, who has brought us to a place on the mountain where we can nourish and flourish and develop spiritually because we have a good shepherd. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We welcome you to Words from the Word. You're all live. We want this last session of the year to be very interactive. Anything that you would like to share, tell, impart, praise, acknowledge, we give you that opportunity to do that. But God has been gracious to us. He has been an awesome wonder. And his word says to declare to the people the deeds of the Lord, the good things that he has brought and how he has blessed us and how grateful and thankful we are for his great mercy, his awesome faithfulness, his unfailing love, the pure joy he gives us, and the peace that he has shared in with us through his death, resurrection, and power of the cross, and leading us daily as the good shepherd. And as we're looking at Psalms 23, and it is in line and it is appropriate for us to be like the sheep, to say, the Lord is my shepherd. We have a boast in him. So we want to boast in him in this morning. He says the praises of God is the water from the earth that the Lord draws from and brings up the heaven, and that's how he brings the rain. He brings the rain through the water of our praise, that water, that living water that flows out of our belly as we take his truth and embrace it and share it and declare it and speak of it on this earth realm. And as his word goes forth from our mouths, as we declare and we decree the wondrous things that he's done, and numerous times in Scripture, he tells us to tell the people of the deeds of God, to tell the people of the wonders that he has performed and the good things that he's done for his people. And as we put his word out there, he inclines to it. It's like a magnet, and it draws that our praise and our words of worship up to him. And as he glories in it, he sends it back with the blessing in the form of the rain. You want it to rain? Then start praising the Lord so that he can take the water of your worship and he can bring it back down as praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are all live. The lines are open. We ask that you put your phone on mute if you're not sharing. But when you want to share, please take it off mute. And you're welcome. You're welcome to come forth on behalf of the awesome wonder. Awesome wonder. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen, amen. I do ask for a little technical assistance. We have been blessed here, and so we're trying something new this morning. So if at any time the sound or it appears that something has gone awry, please text me and let me know that something's going on, all right? Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
Okay, hopefully you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm trying to support as well. So I hope that I'm coming through clearly. I just wanted to say, a blessed Advent season for you and your listeners as well. But in this study of the 23rd Psalm, it is just amazing how the little nuances of some of the things that the author talks about. And then when you see it, I'm a fan of Western, and so the last, I don't know, a couple of weeks that we've been going through this, anytime I see something that's talking about sheep burgers or whatever, I'm listening more intently and paying more attention. And a lot of the little nuances that he speaks about, some of the things that the author talks about in the chapter, I think we're on chapter 8 of my rod and my staff, the rod, you know, just the particulars and how they get them and how they shape them and how they're so personalized. And I would encourage your listeners, I went in and pulled up Google and just said, show me pictures of rods and staff, shepherd's rods and staff. And they are so varied. You know, they all have a similar hook shape, but the end of the hook, some are in, some are out, some are round, some are pointed, some are, you know, it's just very, very interesting. Some are more curved at the top, some are more angled at the top. And I guess it's just based on the author, the shepherd's own preference. But I'm sure as we get deeper into the lesson, as he talks about the rod and what happens with the rod and that, it just brings more clarity to the words in the song when we really understand, you know, the tools that he uses. One last thing, I'm going to talk up your line, but one thing I thought was very interesting that he says that there are a lot of tools that are made that have various uses for different things, but a shepherd, the shepherd's rod, the shepherd's staff, right, is only used by a shepherd for sheep. In none of the other animal management, that there are other things you can use for various things in the whole agriculture and farming and cattling and sheep herding and those kinds of things. There are certain tools that can be used in various ways for various types of animals. So it's very interesting that for the shepherd is the only one who uses it, and that is the only animal that is governed by that. There's no other, the dead tool is not used in any other, which is very interesting.
Amen. Amen. I thought it was awesome, that insight that you received, and I just want to read this to everyone. I may have to give up my technology, but I'm going to try.
Okay, we hear you clearly.
It says, yes? Is
no,
someone saying
say,
something?
Oh,
okay. All right. This is one of the readings from Jesus Calling. And just as you said, that once we've been involved in this insight and in this study and examining the scripture, we're like fine-tuned to some of the key words and key phrases, and they take on a new meaning. And so this is the reading for December 30th out of Jesus Calling. It says, I am leading you. And right away, I thought about the Good Shepherd. And it says, along a path that is uniquely right for you. Again, I thought of, he leadeth us in the path of righteousness. Then it says, the closer to me you grow, the more fully you will become your true self, the one I designed you to be. Because you are one of a kind, the path you are traveling with me changes increasingly from that of other people. However, in my mysterious wisdom and ways, I enable you to follow this solitary path while staying in close contact with others. In fact, the more completely you devote yourself to me, the more freely you can love people. Marvel at the beauty of a life intertwined with my presence. Rejoice as we journey together in intimate communion. Enjoy the adventure of finding yourself through losing yourself in me. And that so spoke to me of this intimate journey we have with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as we look into the 23rd Psalms. And just as you had mentioned, it is it becomes clear. Things pop, and we have a different visual, a different understanding. Had I read that a year ago, I would not have the understanding I have today. And so I understand that uniqueness, and you mentioned it as it related to the rod and the staff, but the rod itself is fashioned by the shepherd, and it's very unique. He fashions it according to his, I want to say, perception of what is going to be needed for his sheep. And so they don't, like you said, they don't all look the same, but they are fashioned from the wisdom of the shepherd of as to what to do and how to do it. And so we'll just get right into the lesson, because that definitely insight and impartation really leads us right into this, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Last week we looked at he leadeth me, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. And this week, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so we're looking at the rod and the staff. And as you said, you know, it's no longer just memorized words. Now we want to know, rod, staff, okay, what is that about? What is David trying to communicate to us? Because David's life had been challenged on every side. He had been rejected by his father. The king pursued him. Armies pursued him. He didn't have a place to stay. He lived in a cave. You know, he was even wounded by his own son. His wife misunderstood him. He just had persecution all around him. And yet he identified, though he was a shepherd, he identified as a sheep in need of a shepherd. And he realized how completely the situations in life make us totally helpless unless we have a good shepherd. And he knew the need that he had for endless attention, constant companionship, reassurance, and protection. He needed someone to manage his way who, you know, had the knowledge of the way that was best for him, to strengthen him and to nourish him so that he could manipulate, if you will, or navigate through this life that Scripture tells us is going to be full of trouble. But you know, when trouble comes, God is there, and he's already made a way through it. And so it is true with the preparation for their journey, the sheep and the shepherd. They don't take much with them. The book shares that a shepherd has a very minimum amount of equipment, but one thing he does have is this rod and this staff. And perhaps something, and we'll see that in later chapters, to use to apply to the sheep when they are in need of medication and that sort of thing. And so we are looking at this rod as it relates to the need of the sheep. And the rod itself, the book shows us, has three uses. And as you had mentioned, this is a piece of equipment that's only used by shepherds only. Very unique. So we need to understand that this rod is symbolic of the Word of God. It's only used by God for his sheep. And so this rod, it's a weapon. It's defensive weapon. And as I was thinking about it, I said, I think it's also offensive. And if I understand that word as relates to the football games and that sort of thing, there's offense and defense. So there's that aggressiveness that goes forward, but then there's also that position that guards, and so it's that has to be the offense, if I'm not mistaken, if I understand kind of football a little bit. And so that rod took on both of those positions in both of those needs. And it was an extension of the shepherd's arm. So it gave him a longer reach. It gave him a it extended, and it represented his strength, his power, and his authority. In serious situations, he could use this rod. The author says the rod was what he relied on to safeguard both himself and the flock from danger. And furthermore, the instrument he used to discipline and correct any wayward sheep that insisted on wandering away. And so we see this is also the function of the Word of God, of the spoken Word of God, of the Scriptures. That's what the Scripture does for us. It safeguards us because it gives us truth that we live by and we're able to stand on and we're able to fight the enemy with. That becomes our sword. The Word of God becomes our sword. And this rod, yes. Okay. And this rod is also our power and our authority. This is what gives us victory, is the Word of God. This is what the weapon that Christ used when tempted by Satan. He didn't fight him. He didn't try to use his wit. He didn't have to use the support of the people around him. All he had and all he needed was the Word of God. And that's what he used. And it caused the enemy to flee. And we need to know this. And that's one of the things the shepherd in their natural environment. They didn't have guns or bombs or that sort of thing, a shield or sword. All they had was this rod. And this rod became their defense. So if an enemy, a coyote or bear or wolf, would attempt to come and to harm the sheep, this was the only thing he had to ward off the enemies of his flock. And we hear in Scripture, David had experienced the use of that rod when he was able to kill a bear and a lion with his rod. I mean, that was his protection. That was his protection. Yes, yes.
You know, we're saying that. And I'm looking here, you know, where it talks about the rod is the rod of protection, the rod of correction. When you had mentioned just a moment ago, offense and defense, one of the things in defending, using it as a defense weapon against the bear or the lion, or using it offensively, the author talks about being out in the bush and beating back the bushes to loose any. Is there anything like that? It's kind of like a preventative measure to go on. Go before the sheep to prevent danger. So where, you know, you need to beat the bush to loose any snakes or any other predators that might be lurking, waiting to pounce on the sheep. So you see it as an offensive weapon and as a defensive weapon. And then the other thing I was going to say is, you know, when it's talking about that, it's a weapon of power, a weapon of authority, a weapon of defense. And like you said, that's what the Word gives us. You know, it's such a clear picture of the tool that Christ gives us as believers that, you know, you know, when it says he doesn't give us the spirit of fear. And when you think of being fearful, you know, of a power and love and of a sound mind, but it gives us the authority that we can. The authority of the Word, that I am an heir and a joint heir with Christ. I'm his beloved, forgiven, redeemed. I'm his child. And so I can use the Word of my Father and expect results because I'm not going in my own power. I'm standing in the righteousness of Christ. So as a weapon of power and a weapon of authority and a weapon of defense. Because all through the scripture, you know, even as Christ was tempted, you know, it is written. You know, so the rod of the gives us a three-pronged attack. Like the word says, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. The power that we wield in Christ Jesus and the authority that we have to speak those things in the creative power that, you know, that we have in the way that we are made in His image and likeness. It like I said, it just opens up the psalm. Makes you want to go somewhere and preach it or something.
Absolutely. And not just the psalms, but well, it is the psalms, but the terms that the psalms use as it is explained of the shepherd's perspective of it, it causes us to get clarity from other scriptures. And so it gives even definition to, I have shared with my grandson about words, and he loves guns and that sort of thing, and swords and whatever, and he's learning how to read. And so I tell him, words are weapons too. He said, oh, no, they're not. No, they're not weapons. And I said, yes, they are. And I knew that they were. But immediately I thought about it. I had done the reading, and I thought about it. I said, well, you know, when Christ did, when he was confronted, that he was in a battle. But he didn't sweat. He didn't have to go put on armor. He had been actually in a very weakened state. So he really wasn't physically fit for a fight. All he had to do, as you said, it is this written. But it was the imagery that it evoked that gave me insight of how to even share the power of words with someone that's not that familiar with it. And so that's what that rod did to the sheep. They didn't know what that stick was. They didn't know the meaning of it. But as they watched it being used, they learned. And it, as you said, dispelled their fear. And so it says, he said, I walk through the valley, shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. And I see you moving stuff with your power, your authority. I see you establishing stuff. You know, I see you displacing stuff. And so I'm not gonna sweat it. I'm just going to watch you and the staff. And as you said, it has a third use, in which the sheep learned. And it was for correction. And so it was something that for those wayward sheep, they were used to its touch being one of correction. Those love those the Lord loves, he chastises. He disciplines. And so it became his source of discipline. And then not just discipline, it's such a powerful thing. Because the word of God will bring conviction through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is that intimacy with Holy Spirit, bringing conviction through the word of God when we are in error, to put us back on the road that we need to be on. there are so many things. The author writes, it says, all the dangers of ramparting rivers in floods, avalanches, rock slides, poisonous plants, the ravages of the predator that raid the flock with the awesome storms of sleet and hail and snow are familiar to him. So he has to understand how to manage the environment and the sheep as it relates to it. So because nothing took him by surprise, he was always prepared. He was always there to safeguard. And that rod was that show of readiness, show of preparedness, so they don't catch him by surprise. How often do we hear one another say, you know, that this thing that came up in our life, this storm and this avalanche of trouble, it didn't catch God by surprise. He knew about it. And his rod, his word, is prepared to deal with it. And so he's already made arrangements for all of these dangers and adversities in our life, because he said our life will be full of trouble, but he also said that, you know, the Lord will deliver us from them all, because Christ came so that he would understand and say to us, I've been there, I've done that. And that he could say to the Father, I was there, you know, forgive my children, help my children, guide my children, lead my children, indwell in my children, empower my children, so that they will navigate through this journey to the top of the mountain, to the top of Mount Zion. And so it was a disciplinary piece of equipment. And when you think about all of the uses, and we're not through with uses, because there was one more that was really just amazing to me. I love it. This the word of God, this rod, and the power of it, and all that it was intended to do. And as you say, a three strand, you can't get around it. So there was nothing that was left outside of the use of this, as it relates to the journey for the sheep. That I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, but that's okay. the sheep, but the rod also was used to count them. The extending the arm of the shepherd so that he could keep track of them. He could count them and make sure that they were all present by touching each one and making sure none were missing, so that he would have, or else he would have to go and to get them. And so it was used for the welfare of the sheep as well, as it, not just discipline, but also the welfare, because they used it to count the sheep and to examine the sheep. And I love this explanation of what a shepherd does. It says, another interesting use of the rod in the shepherd's hand was to examine and count the sheep. In the terminology of Old Testament, this was referred to as passing under the rod in Ezekiel 20 and 37. This meant not only coming under the owner's control and authority, but also to be subject to his most powerful or careful, intimate, and firsthand examination. A sheep that passed under the rod was one which had been counted and looked over with great care to make sure all was well with it. So they would use this rod to actually, as they counted them, as they went through the gate for the night and whatever, he would pull back their fur with the rod to look at their skin to make sure everything was still okay, that they didn't pick up something, determine the condition of the skin, its cleanliness, anything in the wool that needed to come out. So the rod was used to uncover hidden problems that may have not been seen, you know, by the naked eye, but the rod or the word of God will uncover those hidden things. Scripture says, deliver me from secret faults, and not, let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. He says, search me and know my heart, O God. You know, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Now, when I used to read that, I used to think, well, if there's anything, well, of course, there's always going to be something. But I understand now what the author was saying. It's like during this journey, as I go under the rod, as I go under the power of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will bring correction, I need to know whether or not there's something, an area that needs your attention. And so you can lead me to the remedy. And so it's that you're working on this in my life, and oh, look, there it is. It's popped up. That's a part of my flesh that has not been crucified. And so then you're going to lead me in that. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I am going to. Hold on. Okay, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that when you were talking about something, when you indicated that the rod was used for examination and hold searching as an examination, when it talks about pulling it, using that little hook, and if you look at some of those pictures and the way the hooks are fashioned, to be able to pull up that wool and see to make sure there's no irritants underneath and, you know, no bruising or anything like that. And that's how the Lord searches us when we ask the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of times I know personally, and sometimes I don't even want to read some things before the Lord because, you know, sometimes we know or we think we know or we have a fairly good idea because we know what God's Word says, and we know that if we say, Holy Spirit, show me, He will lift up the wool. You know, He will come and do a thorough examination and show us all the things, you know, all the places where we might be lacking or where there might be a deficit, where we need to be strengthened or mended or healed or you know, or whatever the case may be. What I wanted to read the verse of scripture in the Amplified from Ezekiel. When you were talking about counting, it says, and I will cause you to pass under the rod as the shepherd does his sheep when he counts them, and I will count you as mine, and I will constrain you and bring you into the covenant to which you are permanently bound. That's Ezekiel 20:37.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. I'm just getting a lot of static. I'm not sure if it's me or this thing. So I'm going back on old school right now.
You're not hearing static on this end. At least I'm not. You told me to be perfectly clear, but I don't know.
Okay, perfect. Okay. All right. And
all
so
right.
How do I, yes, that going under the rod. So it makes scripture come alive. It produces a picture that actually we're able to embrace. Yes. We're able to embrace the process because now we can understand the intimate love that's involved in it. And so it's not a thing of, okay, I'm being disciplined, you know, by a hard taskmaster and, you know, God is requiring of me more than I can give because I'm only human, I'm not Jesus, yada, yada, yada. You know, but it brings us to a different mindset, like, oh, wait a minute. He's doing everything for me. And he's doing it with this love and patience. I love the way the scripture in the book, not the book, the daily reading said how, you know, the more and more you walk, the more and more solitary your journey gets, even though it puts you in the midst of people and teaches you how to love them. But what it does, it focuses so on him that it is like it's you and him. There is a scripture in Psalms 73, if somebody could get that, like the last, Psalm 73, the last, three or four verses. If someone could get that in different versions and read it. Okay.
What version of that did you want over
here? Well, just whichever, you know, they all come in so uniquely. Well, you start with the 21st.
Did you say 21st or 23rd? I'm sorry.
To start with the 24th verse.
Say that again?
Pardon?
Did you say start at the 24th?
Yes.
Okay, now this is the Amplified. This is the one I just happen to have up. You will guide me with your counsel and afterwards receive me to honor and glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And I have no delight or desire on earth besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the rock and firm strength of my heart and my fortune forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You will destroy all who are false to you, and like spiritual harlots to prosper you. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God and made him my refuge, that I may tell of all your work. That was the 24th through 25th verse of Psalm 73. So hopefully that's the one.
Right. And that shows us how, as we get close to him, it becomes it's solitary, singleness. It's just him. You know, who have I on earth? So we're not looking to anybody else. And he says, you destroy the unfaithful. And I looked at that, I thought immediately about that sheep that just refuses to obey. That sheep that he has to end up because of the flock. I'm sorry?
See, you do have a lot of static, and I think it gives back a feedback also. That's what's going on.
Ask your audience, do you hear a difference now?
Now it's just really just the static.
Did the feedback go away?
The feedback is gone, but yeah, the feedback is gone.
Okay. That might have been me because I was on a different system. So I just disconnected that. So that's why I was wondering if I was creating the feedback because I was on a hands-off system. On a wireless system. So hopefully that'll be better.
Okay, yeah, that sounds better.
Oh, Michelle, let me read in the message while you get that together, that same verse, those same verses. In the message it says, you wisely and tenderly lead me, and then you bless me. You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. And the 26th verse says, when my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. Look, those who you left are falling apart, deserters. They'll never be heard from again. And that last verse is, but I am in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do. Now, that's in the message.
Hallelujah.
Do you want to hear the living?
Amen, amen.
Yes.
Verse 24 says, you will keep on guiding me all my life with your wisdom and counsel, and afterwards receive me into the glories of heaven. Whom have I in heaven but you? And I desire no one on earth as much as you. My health fails, my spirit droops, yet God remains. He is the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Verse 27, but those refusing to worship God will perish, for he destroys those serving other gods. 28, but as for me, I get as close to him as I can. I have chosen him, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful ways he rescues me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so we have this imagery that's now shaping our understanding of what our relationship is supposed to look like. And so that this insight into a shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm gives us such a picture of what this journey is supposed to look like. And it really has not looked that way
from the beginning. And as we grow and understand the Good Shepherd's great commitment to us and everything that he does for us and what he uses with us, you know, we can be more, I think it calls us to surrender more readily without a fight, if you will, without, you know, hesitation. And so we look at this rod and all that it does and all that we need to happen, you know, because so often we get in a place we think we're all right. Yes?
I think that's just an echo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we, you know, because the wool represents, as the author indicates in Scripture, and we see it very clearly in the tabernacle and that which was required and restricted in the tabernacle, but the wool represented the self-life, self-will and self-assertion and self-pride. And we've already learned that in order to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we have to be selfless. And yet, this wool represents our self, and our self-pride, our self-assertion, our self-will, which is why it has to be pulled back by the rod, and then the skin, or rather the heart of us, examined in under the weight, if you will, of the rod or the word. And so just such a powerful illustration of what the word of God is, how important it is. And yet, I appreciate Pastor Hooks, you know, putting out that challenge, because I think so many of us, you know, even as we prepare an ordination and in our offices and in our service in our sanctuaries, we have not read the whole Bible from beginning to end. And it is the word, it is the main instrument, if you will, of our defense, our offense, of our discipline, you know, and as well as of our, it's like the doctor for our soul is the word of God. And so we see where this word, and we know Christ is the word. And that, and now, I'm, you know, it's this walk in intimacy. There are different things that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do. Each one has a different task in our life. And so this rod, and they're all necessary. And this rod represents Christ. It represents the Word, and Christ is the Word. And the Word became flesh. And so now this rod that we're passing under, as we're being counted, you know, it all brings out illustrations of the things that we do, being baptized, passing under him, being, you know, under his authority, humbling ourselves to him and to his word, and making him Lord over. And that's when you pray, you bow down, you know, as Lord of our life, as King. We are honoring him. And so, and count it as a part of his holy family. And so then when we look at the rod, and there were just insights that the author gives, pulling the wool over your eyes, you know, terminologies that we use, now I see them quite differently. And that means pulling, you know, or putting flesh in front of my eyes, pulling the wool over my eyes. So it just, everything is now, it's like, okay, now you can fight the enemy more effectively and fervently when you understand his tactics, when you understand the elements that he used. And there's so many colloquialisms that this study has brought to the forefront of my mind, that I see how it's the way the enemy slips in what he wants to do and makes it like, you know, just a, not a joke, but just something that people always say, oh, you know, pull a wool over my eyes. And yet, what does that really mean? You know, and when we say it, what is it in regards to? Because it's not necessarily in regards to a holy way and Christ's way and the way of the word, but rather the way of cunningness, the way of deceitfulness. And so we need to, you know, as we look at these things, and then we go to the fact that the word is a protector for us, and we are in danger. And we can't do it ourselves. And, you know, the word, the sword, and the way Christ uses the sword, the word, over our life, that we have to study to show ourselves approved so we understand this. There is a comfort in knowing how effective and a confidence in our shepherd, in the word of God, that we must be. And if we're not confident in the word of God, even the scripture says, if you're confident in this thing, then you'll know that you can ask anything of the Lord, and he will do it. And so we would not have to fret. We would not have to worry. There would be no fear, because we would understand that the word says and means that a perfect fear, a perfect love casts out fear, and that God is love. And we see this love demonstrated through Jesus Christ. And so all of these things start connecting themselves to one another. So this picture makes more sense when it says a perfect love casts out all fear, because the perfect love is what God has for us. He demonstrated by giving us Jesus Christ, who is the word, and in this word, it demonstrates the power and authority of this type of love, this unconditional love that we're not necessarily looking for. We're looking for that agape love and those other kinds of love, and those loves are not the true love that will sustain us and build us into a most holy faith. And so all of these things then become leading us in that path it says in that, when he says, when you search me and whatever you see, any wicked in me, lead me in the way everlasting. That's the way everlasting. That's the way that the peace dwells, the joy dwells in this way everlasting. And so we're able to embrace that as we understand the ministry of Jesus Christ in this intimate walk that we have when we first confess and become a part of this family of God. And so that's the staff, and then the rod, that's the rod. Then the staff represents and symbolizes the ministry of Holy Spirit. So we got to that part. It was a shift that I thought, oh, okay. Now the staff, I think if Elder Deborah, if you looked up staff, are they basically the same?
Well, no. You know, when he talks about the staff as being a long, slender, you can tell it's a narrower, lighter stick, but used in a way that's comforting and guiding and directing, as opposed to the rod, which the description kind of shows it more of a club type, you know, more of a baton type of object with a knob on it, you know, as far as the rod. But the staff, he kind of describes as long and more willowy, but yet strong, but strong and flexible, so that, you know, when he's getting the little lambs back, the lambs back to the mother, I forgot the terminology, the ewe or something like that, that he can, it's small enough to stick under, but strong enough to lift the lamb up, because he talks about how when they get separated, if the lamb, if the mother smells the scent of a human on the lamb, she'll reject it. So he needs this long, strong but slender so it can get in and still be to be able to wield it so that he can lift up the sheep, you know, lift up the lamb rather, and bring it, you know, and drop it back over or you know, rest it down closer to the mother. And it also talks about that in the way that it's fashioned being narrower at the tip, that it allows the shepherd to use it and to kind of gently press on the side of the sheep to get them in the direction that he wants them to go, like kind of like prodding. But, you know, with the cattle prod, that's painful. With this, it's just interesting, the comfort and the consolation. It's not painful. You know, they're not prodding them. They're not sticking them and hurting them to make them go. He's actually using the rod just to direct them, just to kind of turn you in the direction. You know, and it says that the staff is used to, when the shepherd wants to get them on a new path or wants to direct them into a gate or possibly out of danger or difficulties, that he uses the staff because it's longer and it allows him to get into places where he might not be able to sit, you know, which is very interesting. Near the end, it talks about how sheep would get tangled up in bramble bushes and wild rose bushes, and there was just no way to get them out except for the staff, because that way, you know, the shepherd wouldn't have to get in and get scratched up and cut up, but you could actually just, I guess, kind of like separate where the wool is trapped, you know, in the thorns and the thickets, and just free them up. And the writer says that only a staff, that type of tool would be the only way that he could do it and keep himself safe and not harm the sheep that had gotten tangled up. And so it's just such a great comparison and analogy between the rod and the staff, that the staff is so much more comforting and consoling, you know, but they're different tools for different needs. And it just shows the different sides of our Father, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd, you know, if you will, on how he uses what's needed and what is most beneficial, as you had said before. You used that word beneficial. What's most beneficial for the sheep? You know, he doesn't beat him out, you know, which is interesting.
And I think it's interesting that the staffs all look basically the same. The rods may look different. They're formed by the shepherd into the way that's best that the shepherd will handle it for his sheep. But the staffs all are made the same. They all have the basic look about them. And so Holy Spirit and his work in our life is very, excuse me, it becomes very apparent that this is what is being used for everybody. Holy Spirit is there with us in an intimate way, because on the inside, we're all alike. We all have these basic needs for assurance and for love, and we get it a different way, and that's the word. We get it different in different paths by the word. But when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit indwelling in all of us, that one Spirit in all of us, being a variety of spirits but one, and it is touching the core of what we need, and we all need the same thing. And so no matter what block you're in, no matter what group you're a part of, we all need that same, that Holy Spirit that will make us, that we are given, you know, and he is our guarantee until we're delivered to the bridegroom. And he is the same loving, intimate touch for all of us, because we all have that same need. That's the thing. thing that makes us one. That's the thing that no matter what stage we're in, we all need that laying on of that staff on our side. One of the things it also says is even when nothing is wrong at all, the shepherd will often just lay the staff on the side of the sheep and walk with him that way. Just that constant comfort and confidence, I'm here. I am here. I am with you. I am here. I am with you. And that in itself dispels some of the anxiety and anxiousness and worry and fear that the sheep may have. But I understand that as we travel, we need a touch from the Lord. And the author is indicating how the Lord knew that. That's why the staff was provided for us. That's what Christ told them. You know, all of this is good. However, you need, don't move until the Holy Spirit comes. All that the Word does, but you need to stay where you are until Holy Spirit comes. And then we are released to go forth. Because he knew where we were going was going to be, you know, in the valley of the shadow of death. And that we could not navigate that without the known and felt presence of the staff or the Holy Spirit with us. And so it is such a oneness. You can't separate one from the other. We can't separate and feel we need this one. Well, I'm in the Word. Well, you also got to do, you know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not just enjoy it. You have to know it. You have to know what his ministry is in our life. We have to obey it. And then we can enjoy it. we have other callers on the line. Does anybody else like to share from their reading? We don't want anybody to feel, you know.
Well, I was there. I found it interesting in reading about the rod. What came to my mind was David. David out caring for the sheep, and it was talking about how they would throw the rod at different things.
Yeah.
You know, not only to deter the sheep, but at in protecting the sheep. So it just brought to light how, you know, and David caring for the sheep and throwing the rod, how he was able to throw the stone and kill the giant because the Lord had given it expertise in throwing the rod. So he knew within himself that he could actually throw that stone with expertise and get the job done.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. That's
what
awesome.
I found in reading about the rock.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And just further indicating, you know, a workman, you know, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. And you build up your most holy day. We build ourselves up when we, I want to say practice, but when we surrender to the discipline and the discipling of the Word of God. And you do, you become proficient in it. And truly, no matter how great your enemy is, he's got to fall. He's going to fall. He is going to fall. And so we do.
Yes.
Thank you so much for, you know, sharing and bringing that up. That was a point, you know, that I had forgotten until you started talking about it. And awesome insight. Awesome.
And then I had never looked at, in terms of the rod, I mean, I read the scripture, but in terms of the rod and the, you know, I never looked at the word as being our rod. I just never looked at it in that manner, but in reading, in this reading, it brought it out so well. And I said, okay. You know, he has brought out so much in this study of a shepherd's look at the Psalms. He really gives you a lot of food for thought.
Absolutely.
And looking at all of, you know, everything is just really amazing. Really amazing.
It was interesting. Once you said that, I immediately thought of the scripture where it says, send the word. And so I can see throwing that rod is sending the word. You know?
Yes.
So it does. It just opens up our understanding. Oh, my God. It's such a powerful thing to get into the word of God. And we do. We thank God for his writers, his authors, those that have surrendered their lives and their talents to God and penned this information so that we could get excited about it. I know that I believe this author has passed, Philip Keller, and yet, you know, what he penned is blessing thousands, probably millions of people. But I do, and I will always think now of that rod being thrown ahead of the sheep to, as Deborah had mentioned, beating the bushes to get all the snakes out and all of the, you know, those deceiving things. And you know, it says if you expose the devil, you take away his power, you know, because you know it's him and you know he's defeated. And so just all of these things that make us face the valley of the shadow of death without fearing, and rather in joy of the journey. That's what our daily hearing today was, that it doesn't become a task, but rather it says a marvel at the beauty of the life intertwined with, it says my presence, but with the presence of the good shepherd. It says rejoice as we journey together in intimate communion. Enjoys the adventure of finding yourself through losing yourself in me. And so there is a joy. It says that one of the other scriptures says, and at their right hand, there is pleasures forevermore. And so often people think, you know, well, if I surrender to the Lord, you know, it's going to be boring, it's this, it's that, it's hard, it's da-da-da-da-da. But he says, you know, there are pleasures forevermore. Not just in eternity, but from this point on, there are joys to be embraced and adventures to be had. And so it is an adventure to see where is God leading. So when things are changing and shifting, let's not be fearful. This is a new year coming up, and let's not fret or fuss about it. Not fuss, but you know, get concerned about it, but let's get excited about this. Is an adventure of intimacy that we're traveling with the Lord to the top of Zion. That is the destination, and we're going to reach it because he is the good shepherd, and he has committed himself to us to take us there. So everything that we need, he's going to do. That's why I love that song. He is an awesome wonder. He knew me before I was born. You know, knew my destiny. He went before me and made the way. And so we just bow to him as the sheep. We just walk, you know, with him with this love intimacy that is so satisfying that our souls can do nothing but bow to him and to worship him. And as we're learning on Wednesday night, we learned the prophetic praise and how that is healing to our souls, because most of the things that frustrate us in life and have frustrated us in life have brought us to a place of unwellness, I will say, unwellness, where we had a need for healing, whether it was spiritual or physical, emotional, professional, and we are being led up the mountain and dropping off the fears and our old nature that we got from Adam, and we are no longer that creature anymore, and we are, it's being unfolded every day, who we really are in Christ, and how this new creature with a new mindset is being released on the earth so that we will declare his wonders and others may see and know and seek him as well. So before we close out our last session of 2016, are there any more impartations, revelations, participation?
I just wanted to say that I found interesting when the writer said that the rod speaks, therefore, the spoken word, the express intent, the extended activity of God's mind and will in dealing with men. It implies the authority of divinity. It carries with it the convicting power and irrefutable impact of thus saith the Lord. So it's again, never really realizing or seeing it, the word in that manner, it just speaks volumes to you know, how God can give individuals revelation of his word, and when others read it, how it just comes forth and bring more revelation to them.
Amen. Anybody else? Anyone else?
No, just that it's been a very enlightening, thus far, very enlightening. Every piece. This would be a great reread when we get done.
Yeah,
read it straight through. This, you know, I really think that it would be, you know, or, you know, even when we get to the end and look at it comprehensively. One thing I wanted to ask you, Overseer, I don't know if you looked at any of the pictures of the rods and the staffs, but there were some that had a three-pronged or like a three-tasseled end on them. And I didn't have enough time to get in there to see, but I'm thinking that those three, when I'm saying tassels, they weren't soft like fabric, but three, that's all I can say, like a three-pronged end on there. And I'm wondering, it appeared that they might be detachable. I'm wondering if that's actually what the shepherd might have thrown at the sheep, because I'm still trying to figure out, when you throw your staff or you throw your rod, just like the elders said, you got to be really precise when you see a flock of sheep to be throwing at a particular sheep, you know, and then to be able to go and find it. You know what I mean? When you look at how closely they congregate, because they don't have very much space. They're almost side to side, you know, or head to head. But to when Elder McIntyre was just speaking, it made me think of when you see young boys who have basketballs in their hands from the time they're two, and how adept they become over time, even when they're not tall enough to say to dunk or maybe can't really get a ball in the hoop. They have learned and mastered the skills, and it made me think of the shepherd boys, because Keller said in his writing how they work with it just tirelessly, and this is just something that they have, because you know, in my lineage, I'm going to be just like, I'm going to be a baller, I'm going to be a sheep herder, you know, so they keep that in their hands all the time. And even when he talked about in one thing as a rescue to keep the sheep from danger, he talked about how the little boy never let go of his rod. He was able to kill, they knocked the boulder down, I think, to whatever it was, whatever the danger was. But he mentioned that the young boy that was with him, that was a boy, never let go of his rod, and because of that, being prepared and trained, he was able to kill the cobra immediately, which kept the sheep, you know, safe, kept the shepherd safe as well. But just that whole, it just gave me that image of how you see, like I said, especially the young boys were, you see them walking to school, walking to the store, they're dribbling, they're walking and dribbling, and they're standing and dribbling, and, you know, and whatever. But I could imagine that that's how the shepherd boys would be wielding and flipping and throwing, you know, their staff. So it just shows, like you said, the preparation from a young age, train up a child, you know, and not just train them in being mannerable, but train them in the way what their life's work. You know, so if you know that this is my lineage, just like if I'm a priest, then my sons, you know, will be trained in the priesthood, you know, the Levitical priesthood. Just like if I'm a shepherd, my son's going to be a shepherd, and, you know, and they're trained up. So, yeah, this has just been a great study. Thank you for your time and effort in this.
Elder,
when you were speaking about some with the three prongs on it, I was wondering in my mind, of how they took the rod to part the sheep fur to look through it and examine it. It must have been shaped something like a little a comb or something, because the one part, I was saying, how could they part his fur? So when you mentioned about the three prongs, I said, oh, okay, so that is like
that
a
could be
comb.
But you know, Elder, on the staff hook, staff hook, some of them have points, so you could just stick it in just like the point of a pick or a comb and just lift it up. So you have to Google it. Just Google rods and staff, and you'll see so many different kinds. But it did make me wonder, like, okay, well, how do you use this? So now I'm going to look a little bit more into it.
Right. And you know what? And I think it just further goes to show, because each one of the shepherds created their own rod. They fashioned it out of what how they were going to use it, how they knew the use for it, but they understood, if you will, like you were saying with the basketball, they knew their talent, okay?
Right.
And so there were different ways, and that's how it is with Christ and his word. There's one scripture that may work for you. There's another that brought me to a place, you know, and so it just depends on how, you know, Christ, who is the word, is going to fashion himself to fit our needs. And so I just think it's just so awesome, because when you said about the three things, and I will definitely look for it, you know, go online and Google, that was one of my thoughts, you know, about how you comb hair. And yet before that, even with just the rod, moving it back and forth, because I used to scratch my mom's hair all the time. And sometimes she didn't want it parted. She just wanted you to lay that hair down. And so you could use the back end of the comb to smooth that hair over to get to her scalp. So there are just so many different ways you can do a thing, and God knows them. Christ knows them. And he came so that he could customize. And it wasn't that he couldn't before, but this is the time, and this is the depth of the love God has for us. He wanted it to be so customized for each one of us that he would cause his son to experience it all, so that it will fit whoever. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes will have, you know, what they need to be a part of his family. So it is just glorious. It's a glorious, wonderful study. I thank God for it. And you can tell your friends and family, apparently Apostle is going to do something with this, because the books have been purchased. Thank you, Elder Deborah, for bringing that to our attention. And so, oh yeah, it's on. So we just, you know, I'm just excited. I really am. I am just so excited about it, because it a shepherd, a pastor, needs to understand before they put that mantle of pastoring on their shoulders. They must know the commitment that they have to make and how important it is for them to give themselves up to the training and the teaching and the necessary sacrifices that a shepherd does for his sheep. And it's only then will we create pastors that are after the heart of God. You can't take it lightly. And so I thank God we have our apostle to close out our final session in 2016. We thank and love her for her vision and for her integrity to that vision and her sacrifice for the vision. Apostle.
So, Father, we honor you. We thank you for words. We bless you for the ministry of words for the word. Thank you for those who have participated, those who have listened, those who have learned, but more equally as important, those who have allowed this word to change and transform their lives for the glory of God. Thank you for those who have sent themselves empty before a full fountain that they may be the conduit for which you can use pour in rain so that others can. Thank you that this word saturates the dry ground that we, that people are around us, and due of the presence of the Holy Spirit that nurtures and saturates. God, thank you, Lord God, for the impartation of the word to your vessels, and then the release, the authentic, genuine, faith-filled release of it. Thank you that every word spoken, no word spoken can return void. Every word spoken is an assignment, and it shall accomplish that which it has been sent to do, and it will prosper in the lives of those that receive, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Close out with this awesome worship of the wonderful wonders of our Lord. Marvelous, marvelous. Lord be in this place.
Have a blessed day.
Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.